This is the Kestrel Country Podcast, where we discuss the people, places, and events all around Kestrel Country. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Kestrel Country Podcast Christmas Series. I'm your host, Mike Church, joined by my lovely wife and co-host, Catherine.
Hello, hello.
And Catherine is leading the sleigh again this week with another episode of our series of Christmas at Home.
On this one, it's Becky Pliego.
Heading south, Mexico.
Yes, which is really fun to talk a little bit about her background in Mexico and, you know, traditions there versus our traditions. And for Becky, especially, because Becky is a grandma, and they have moved from Mexico City where they had a big house. So we talk about that transition up to right now. They're living in an apartment downtown. And so how she has made that switch and change and still leans heavily into Christmas. So it was a fun one.
Mexican traditions.
I learned a lot.
Talk about that.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. So it's a good one.
I'm excited to hear this one.
Oh, good.
Well, let's get into it with Catherine and Becky Pliego.
Becky Pliego, thank you so much for joining us today on the Kestrel Country Podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm glad you could come. Yes. So Becky is part of our Christmas at Home series that we are dropping throughout December. So fun ideas about Advent and Christmas and everything that you have with your family heritage and stuff. But before we jump into Becky's ideas, we want to learn a little bit about Becky. So how did you come to Moscow?
Yes, right. So we've been here, living here in Moscow 2 years ago. Okay. We came because of our children's college. Basically, that's what drew us here. But we've been coming to Moscow. Moscow has been our second home for years.
Yeah. So how many years? Because you guys...
Like 12?
Has it been that long?
I know. Wow. That long.
Okay. Yeah,
that long.
Did it come with your first kid come into NSA?
Yes.
Okay.
So it 12 years ago. It was funny because the first time that we came, he came for a prospective student to NSA. So he was still in high school.
Oh, wow.
So crazy. Yes. And then we just... All the kids started coming. We have 4 kids. All started coming. And... Just great.
Have they all graduated?
All graduated. Okay. The youngest
Isabel
is not.
Still,
yeah, okay. Isabel is still, you know, she's still, she just got married, but hasn't graduated. She's planning to finish.
Is she a senior this year?
No, she's a junior.
Okay.
She's a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
I know. That's crazy, but so good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your kids, you followed your kids up here. Mm-hmm. You visited a bunch. But tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So we are born in Mexico City. My husband and I, or all our kids too, and lived there, have been living there all our lives. And we have 4 kids and all married now. And we have 6 grandchildren, 7th on the way.
Oh.
Yeah, so they are great. And that is such a blessing. So, and I just, you know, love being here, being here at home, being a wife, being a mom, being a grandmother now, which is super exciting.
Adding it to the mix.
I know.
So tell us about Christmas. Mm-hmm. Christmas, what you did when you were growing up and your kids, and then how that's shifted as you've moved up here.
Yeah, of course there have been so many changes since we moved here because even because of the space we used to, in Mexico we have, you know, like a larger house with big backyard. And now my husband and I are loving the apartment life on Main Street. It's so
the
much
city
fun.
Life.
Yeah, the city life, I know. We just like, look at us living on Main Street and, you know, so fun. But so because of the space, it has been different now until we, you know, God willing, we build. But it's been just so in Mexico, some of the traditions that we did for years, and they were incredible. So we would do, for example, posada, it's the word.
Okay.
So posada means an inn, literally the word means the inn. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like you tell the story of how Joseph and Mary, you know, were looking for a place in the inn. And then there's a little song that you play, and you divide your guests. Some are outside the house, some are inside the house, and the outside people have like little candles, and they're carrying the a little nativity set, right? Okay. And or you can do that, or you can just choose like of the kids, you know, a little Joseph and a little Mary, you know, like, and that's it. And then there is this song back and forth, and they would, you know, like, would you let us in? And then the people inside would respond, no, you know, like, there's no room, and back and forth until yes, you know, come in, and they just come in, and then the party actually starts.
Oh, fine.
And we break piñatas, and we have fun. That's the general posada. But the way we would do it was we would just take literally our phone book, right? We had our back then we still were
not still having paper.
Yeah, all paper. And we would call every person there, like friends that you don't see, you know, like, I mean, we had friends that we would only see in the posada. And we would just tell them, just bring sausages for hot dogs and for your family, not to share because we didn't want to end up with a ton. Mm-hmm. And we would hire, you know, like those carts that they have, like the fairs for hot dogs and things like that. And we would just provide the rest, all the stuff. And then it was just like so fun. And then we would have, you know, like our guests divided and do like piñata contests. And it was like always around, you know, like 150 people to her every year.
Was there a time that you specifically did it, or does it matter?
No, we did it the first Saturday in December. That was kind of like our, everyone kind of knew that that was going to be the day.
The kickoff.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it was just really great. We were homeschooling at the time. Mm-hmm. So we would prepare some hymns or carols and then, you know, distribute some, you know, print many of those and then just have everyone sing. And but our kids were kind of like, you know, up front leading that thing. Yeah. It was just such a blessing. And it's just very interesting because the typical piñata has seven cones.
Okay.
Like you've seen, right. Like, you know, the big ball and the seven cones. That is a traditional piñata. And that is the history of that is that when the Spaniards came, right, and they were trying to evangelize all the Indians and back in when it was not even Mexico, right? It was the Mexicas. They were using all the many means to teach them the doctrines of the faith, right? And so they would, each one of those cones was one of the scenes, you know, the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
So it was one of those. And then you would blindly, you know, like that's what they would blindfold you. You will hit them because it's by faith that hit the, and then it's just like, once you hit that, then the blessings will fall.
Oh,
you
know, my
like,
goodness. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So that's when the piñata was invented.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
My goodness.
So that is, it was just like a way. And actually the typical piñatas, now they are not doing them that way anymore because they were, you can imagine, they were dangerous because they were made of clay. So it was like a pot of clay.
So you're going to just...
But when I was a girl, they were still, you know, in the clay. It was so fun. You would like hear it just like clash.
Yeah,
you know,
that
like,
would be a
so
much more
fun.
Shattering.
It was so great.
Oh, that's really fun.
And they would put not only candy, but lots of fruit, actually, in the piñata. So hard fruit, like cane sugar, just like the cane. Mm-hmm. And you just eat it like that. Just spill it with your teeth and then just suck it in, all the sugar.
Yeah.
So fun.
So fun.
Jicamas. Mm-hmm. So the jicama fruit. We have the tiny ones are super sweet.
Oh,
so they are very, very little.
Yeah.
And we would throw those and some other fruit that is called tejocote. I have not found it here. So I don't, maybe there is, you know, like something, but it's just like a little tiny orange. It's a little bit hard.
Is it different than a kumquat? Or similar?
Yes. Yes. It's different than those. And anyway, so that was fun and some candies. But then now we did the paper mache kind of one.
Yeah.
Like that's the one that we would do.
So did you do this same party when, so you did it with your kids. Did you do it when you were growing up too?
Yes.
Oh, so this
we
is
would
a
do
long
it. Yes,
established.
It is. So actually their real tradition is like there are, I don't know they're not, you know, like when exactly it has to be, but there are like four posadas before Christmas, kind of like Advent.
Right.
So, you know, you have a lot of posadas going on. Mm-hmm. People are always having posadas and you know, we would only do that one in the first, it didn't matter. Like we were not following a schedule. It was just like always
the first.
But yeah, I remember growing up, it was like, you know, going to our grandparents, and they live in a little tiny, you know, neighborhood that had a, like a cul-de-sac. And so all the neighbors would gather together to do the posada. So it was, you know, all the things. And of course, the weather in Mexico City, it gets cold at winter. Like you need your good jacket, but it's not.
But it's not like cold.
You can be totally outside.
You're not going to be in frigid temperatures.
I know.
Is this a Catholic tradition?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is normally it is indeed, of course, a Roman Catholic tradition. Okay. So actually the little song, because we are Reform. Mm-hmm. So the little song has some things that we would not normally agree with.
Yeah.
So we did, when we started doing it now with our kids, we modify the song in some parts and we just had it, you know, written down, and we would just sing back and forth the posada thing, and it was just the best.
Oh, that's really fun. So did you celebrate Advent as well with your kids too? So
We did. But we started doing that, even though that is also in the Roman Catholic tradition. We didn't do that. Mm. I didn't do that growing up. But I knew some people did it. It was just kind of like optional, I guess. I don't know.
And us growing up too, it was something that I kind of remember. Oh, when we got some books to start reading through. But I was a kid. But it hadn't been this. Oh, this is what we do every year. It was more like, I remember when this kind of became more of a big thing, and then grew and really grew into it.
That is exactly how we do it. So when I was a kid, we didn't do it. But then when we had kids and we were, you know, homeschooling and, you know, becoming Reform, then we were like, oh, this is actually great. So we started doing Advent. But it has been, you know, growing and changing. And now we do, you know, like a little gift, like, you know, like it's been years now that we've done like a little gift for, you know, whoever is there on Advent, and just trying to enrich it.
And the blessings that have been poured out.
Exactly.
It's been fun to chat with all the ladies about it. Because it's a similar thing. Well, it's like, okay, we give a gift on a Sunday with the grands, you know, especially with the grands, you know, or with your own kids, and some of those gifts that have come out, or the traditions, you know, that they've started falling into, which is really, it's fun to hear about. So with your own kids, what kind of Advent things would you do? What kind of gifts? What kind of treats?
Yeah, I would always love to give them books that I would read, that I would love for them to have as, you know, for a lifetime kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like even beautiful kids as books, I would look for. But then later when they were starting to become, you know, like when they were teenagers, then I started giving them like the first Puritan author and, you know, things like that, that there would be like, this is an, like, I want you to have these.
Treasure this.
You know, like, more than something. Like, Christmas was coming, you know, so they would get the fun, like, the super things that they were looking for. But we wanted to give them that, even though we would give them, like, a, you know, sometimes, I mean, that would be one Sunday, you know, but one Advent. But the other, you know, we would give them, like, a PJ, a set of PJs, or to kick off the, you know, the winter season, or a pretty mug, or nothing big.
Yeah.
Normally just something simple. Mm. And that is exciting. And we're still figuring out how it's going to look like now that we have grandkids.
Right.
Because we don't, like, I have a friend, Nancy, she's like, don't start what you cannot
maintain.
I know. So I remember, you know, like, she's in repeating that, and I'm like, ooh, okay, it's very quickly, very, very quickly, you can have so many.
Oh, I know. I know. You look around and you're like, oh, yes.
Yes, exactly.
15, 17, whatever it might be for
I know. So it's just like, okay, what are we going to do? So I'm not going to send Advent gift. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be that grandma that sends Advent kits for all my grandkids. No, I'm not going to do that. Just think of me that. Mm-hmm. It's not a sustainable, you know, like, thing. So I'm going to give something to the kids the grandkids, whoever is around, like, on that particular Advent, you know, like if we're having that, like Sunday brunch, we normally do Sunday brunches. So if it's Sunday, it's Advent, and we have grandkids there, our kids and grandkids are there, we're going to give them something.
Right.
Only those.
Yes. I think that's a good way to go about it. Because, your list could become really big.
I know. It's just like, ooh, okay, we need to be thinking about these things.
Yes, the long term. Do you do any special food on your Advent Sundays?
No, we don't. I would love to, but we haven't.
Yeah.
I think those are the new things that are starting to, you know, like now with my girls are married yeah. and it's just like, okay, now we're starting to think, okay, what are the things that we want to do every, you know, like
yeah.
for Advents and things like that. I think that is a new stage. Because it's, you know, again, you just grow into
it. Well, you do have to be changing and be mm-hmm. flexible with it.
Exactly.
You can't be rigid on any no. of it or requirements on any of it. You know.
No, exactly. So the only one thing that I know I've done consistently is in Advent, I would have like a special, like their favorite chocolate or something like that by their, you know, like a yummy yeah. special treat than just a kiss.
You get it, the good chocolate.
Yes.
But that yes. is easy to do too. That and it's easy. Special. It's and special. It stands out. It yes, makes it stand out.
It makes it different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the beautiful, like even the beautiful lint, you know,
oh, yeah.
those are super pretty Christmassy, mm-hmm. and then you just discard them around the table.
Yes.
And that is something that it's very simple. It's doable.
It's affordable.
It's affordable. Yeah, exactly. And it's yeah. you know, like those ideas. You yeah. you want to do it. Do you want, I think I want to keep it simple mm-hmm. so that it's really a joy for everyone, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And if you have more people that Sunday that would come, you're not thinking like, oh, you know, how am I going to accommodate these? Because I don't know.
You could just easily add a few more.
Mm-hmm. Add more people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about your decorations for Christmas?
Yeah, we had, when we got married, yeah. we were just talking about this. Isabel and I, she was laughing because when I got married 32 years ago, it was the country style kind of, like all the wooden stuff that you would paint. Do you remember that?
The shabby chic look.
Yes. I loved it. I did so many of those things. It was like I look at pictures of our newly home, uh-huh. you know, newly wed home, and it yeah. was just like so funny because it's like all, you know, cute. And I did yeah. all the Christmas stuff. Yeah. And that back then, kind of like in those years, I made these, they were actually very pretty, these wooden thing yeah. just like they are not that country style, you know, like, but they were pretty
yeah.
and now they are all there, like there were stars and just it was pretty but no, I've been trying to change those for years,
yeah,
but my kids are holding on to those
because they love them because they grew up with them
and I'm like, no way, you know. So they are now in Mexico, so
okay,
I might just disappear them or not, or just give them to one, like one just, day make a raffle,
there you go.
You do whatever.
So you had a bunch of them for your tree.
Yeah, exactly. So they're all yeah. in Mexico. But now, so now we're doing just the, you know, the Paris fairs and just mm-hmm. trying to keep it, you know, like, again, this is like a transition period for us yeah. living in an apartment. And yes. So, yeah.
But
so,
you've done hospitality really well in that apartment space.
It's
and
so
maximized
great.
It. It's so great. So what are your tips with the small space hospitality?
Yes. The main one is buy furniture, not necessarily your favorite, but one that is, that permits you to move it around and make changes. So our coffee table, it's not pretty. Mm. It's not pretty, mm-hmm. but it's so light and it's super easy to move.
Yeah.
Very easy to move. And that is perfect. So I just like, you know, when we have a lot of people, we just move it to one corner. It's very easy, simple, doesn't take a lot of space. And then we can just make huge room and also make it a space that is welcoming also for the kids, that you will not be suffering it.
Where they're not feeling right. like I'm stuck sitting
exactly,
in this one spot.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Or there are a lot of things that are breakable. You know, mm-hmm. like I just look around, it's like if something breaks here, it doesn't matter. You know, like yeah. it's not... I want it to be livable. So just be very flexible. Choose furniture that can be actually moved and simple. Keep it simple. Little few things are actually better if you want to prefer hospitality over, you know, cozy spots.
No, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. What about your Christmas tables in your apartment especially?
Yes.
What have you done?
So pretty. We've done like oranges, we do, you know, like putting a lot of oranges and the cranberries. Yeah. Those are beautiful.
And we should add that Becky's got these dark walls that add yeah. a nice backdrop. That is,
it's so pretty.
It's
it
really,
is
pretty.
Really pretty.
It really is.
And lots of yellow also. So okay. it's just very beautiful. So we like to, we have to do with that, those colors that are already there.
Right.
And so that makes it beautiful. The candles are pretty. I like to make sure that you get, you know, like if you're going to do taper candles, that there are the slow drip or the non-drip, especially, you know, like, it's just such a sad thing. And you're like, it's 20 minutes into the dinner and the candles are gone.
Well, gone, and then you might be watching down the table as your tablecloth is
getting this
solid drip, which I don't think there's, well, maybe there's a secret to getting candle wax out.
Well, I tried once because it was not that important, but I did try it. You put your piece of cloth or whatever in the freezer.
You've tried it. Okay.
I've tried it.
Yeah.
And then it just, you know, it's easier to take it off once it's frozen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then you treat the...
You probably are supposed to do that without even trying to pick any of it off ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's easier. It would go in one
lap. Exactly, yeah. Okay. So I've tried that and I was like, oh, okay, it works. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but get the candles that do
that
not
are, drip. It's worth it. Do you do a mix of your colors on the candles or do you go all white? What do you do?
I like yellow.
Okay.
Or red. So I do either all red or yellow and red. Mm-hmm. Yellow just because there's a lot of yellow elements in my apartment. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, you know, I want to bring them all together. And I do a lot of the little lights. Yes. I got them on Amazon. And they are the one that are kind of like wireless.
Yep, those little copper wire.
Copper. Yeah, exactly, those. They are just so pretty. And you can just easily, you know, put them in your...
Kind of all over.
Yeah, all over. Yeah. And they are just very beautiful. And they are not expensive. And they are just easy to put everywhere. Mm-hmm. That is something that we like. Another thing about the living in this small apartment is that it's beautiful, but it's old. Yes. So there's not a lot of space for storaging, you know, stuff.
Right.
So I just have one set of dishes. Can you imagine? Like one set. That's it.
Yeah.
So all my Christmas dishes are in Mexico.
But really quick, you have to tell us what your Christmas dishes are.
Yeah, exactly. But so this is the basic, you know, like a basic white. Yeah. And I've been learning, you know, like, it's like I have to make the most of it because I literally don't have a space to buy like, oh, the Christmas one and the pretty one and the other one. You're like, and so it's just like, okay, this is the season to have one.
Yes.
You know?
To get really good at using it.
So it's just getting the napkins, you know, like that is another good idea, getting the napkins. My favorite napkins are not, like if you can't do it, they have beautiful options. They are not on the cheaper side, but they are beautiful, beautiful quality, and they last forever. They are from Zara Home. Mm. I love them.
Oh, that's
they fun. Are my favorite. And they have.
Do they come in all sorts of colors? What do you get?
They have a lot of colors, and they are just thick. And I love them. Those are my favorite.
Do they wash up pretty well? Mm-hmm.
They wash up
without
pretty
needing
well.
To be ironed.
Yeah.
Or do well, you still need to?
I did. Yeah. That's those are. You're like you need to iron them, but not necessarily. What I've learned is just to get those sprays that you like for the downy. For
the de-wrinkle spray.
Yes. And then just like flatten them. For a daily use, you know, like if for Christmas and that, you might just want to make them prettier.
Yes,
get them starch or something like Christmas that. But they are just beautiful. They are like the ones that I've used for years. Sometimes I just do the spray and then just flatten them nicely, and they perfect. You know, like they don't look wrinkled, so they are really good. Yeah. I like them. Yeah. So those are pretty. And so, you know, like playing with those things that it's easier to put away napkins, to store napkins than to store
another plates that might break.
Exactly. Another set of plates, you know, plates. So that is another tip of, you know, like if you
it's
have
a small, tip.
Don't fret if you don't have another beautiful set of dishes. Just, you know, do with what you have. It's the season and, you know, it's good. So just try the beautiful, another beautiful thing is just like getting the big cinnamon sticks.
Oh,
those are so beautiful.
Are fun,
and then just put them in with a little ribbon
napkin.
In the napkin.
Oh, that's
and
really
a little
great.
Orange. Those are, you know, the typical typical things that are just so warming, I think. The spices and the warmth and those are beautiful. I remember when I was a girl, how much I haven't done it as a married woman. Now I'm remembering. I might do it with my grandkids. It's not, I don't think it looks very pretty, but I remember how much I love doing it. It's just like, remember the orange and you put all the cloves?
Yes. It was so fun.
It was so fun. And the smell, I remember perfectly.
And putting it in your cider.
I know. And then just like a little bowl of things, you know. Yeah. So our one staple thing that I actually did bring from Mexico, because it has been an important part of our Christmas decoration, that I was like, okay, I can bring this.
Yeah.
I've been collecting not super expensive, just beautiful balls or spheres. How do you call them? The decorations that you put in your Christmas tree.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So just the ornaments?
The ornaments. The, mm-hmm. Yeah. The balls.
The balls. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those, I've been collecting them for years. Mm. So in Mexico, we have the chandelier on the dining room, and I would just, you know, with beautiful ribbons, just hang them from the chandelier, mm-hmm. and then from different parts of the house, and then just put them in big baskets in central, you know, like in centerpieces and things like that. So everywhere in the house, you have those. Mm-hmm. I brought some of our favorites, and now I don't have a chandelier in the apartment, but or any, you know, like it would look weird with the light fixture that we have. But we have, you know, I still do the like a centerpiece with all those there, and then just in the shelves that I have behind my table, I just kind of put them there. Yeah.
Oh, that's a fun one.
That is another good thing. Another beautiful thing is collecting. I've been bringing my collection of Christmas books, especially for children. And then I just literally changed the books that I have on my bookshelves, and then just put some of those Christmas books, because they are so pretty. The covers are so beautiful.
That's really fun to actually switch them up, not just on the coffee table, but up on the bookshelf.
Yes, yeah, so switch them.
That's a great tip, especially with little space.
Little space, exactly. Mm-hmm. So all these things I've learned, you know, because I was like, okay, now I need to actually, you know, be able, like I don't have a ton of spaces to decorate. So what are things I can do? So I do that. And then it looks super Christmassy with all the books that are just there, you know, accessible and the balls. It's simple ways.
Well, and then if you've got the Christmas lights, everything reflects.
Everything reflects.
You start to see all of that. That's so fun. Yes. I wanted to circle back and find out what your Christmas china or your Christmas dishes
are like. I know. You know, I've been getting the William Sonoma series. Yeah. They have so many beautiful. So I have different dishes from them, but like this, the dessert dishes are different, the different plates than the previous years of another one. So
you mixed all and matched.
I mix and match. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And actually what I want to do one day is get each like a different set, but per person instead of dishes. Like now, you know, like the dessert dishes are all the same and, you know, plates are the same. You know what I mean? Yes. But now I want to do like each person, like, you know, have a different, totally different
set. For the full set of dinner.
That would be so pretty.
It would be
really one day fun. When I have a place
to. You've got a spot to store all of your dishes.
I know.
Oh, that's really fun. Well, so this is not related to Christmas at all, Becky. But Becky and I are in a cookbook group together. We actually have never attended together. our signal thread. It's been really fun. And it relates because thinking through the dishes and how things are presented, that's when I was thinking about this just now. I made guacamole for the first time but for the first time making it in a mortar and pestle.
Yes.
Pestle. Can't say it. But and it's
in a molcajete.
Thank you. That sounds much better. But mine is this big, dark, dark, like black colored one. And it was so pretty how much the green popped in that versus my white bowl or something, Anyways, it just was like, well, this is fun.
This is really fun. Actually, they sell some that are bigger. Some molcajetes that are big.
Yeah.
And you actually can put, like, if you had, you know, like a big stove or oven, you can actually pop them in, heat them. Like, they're going to be really hot because there's like a... like a pizza stove. Of course, this is stove, right?
Yeah, it's going to hold that heat.
And then you can actually like do like a salsa and meat, and you just throw it in there and put everything there, and then just bring that whole thing to the table.
And it stays hot.
And it's really pretty. And it's really pretty, exactly.
Oh, that's fun. So fun. Well, it was on my brain, I think, to use the mortar and pestle because of that one cookbook, which is a British lady. But she talks so much about using...
Yes.
You know, for grinding your spices or whatever. And so it was on the top of my head.
It is a great one.
But it is. And so anyways, and that does require more space if you have more dishes.
But I do have two molcajetes.
So then you can use them.
I don't have space for many dishes, but I do have two molcajetes.
Okay, so we've talked about the decor and we've talked about your gifts. Are there any traditions that you do on Christmas Day itself?
That has been funny also, you know, like mm-hmm. because our children are now married to Americans. So it's been a matter of being flexible and kind of like incorporating, okay, what is important for you as a tradition? And then we can just try to
because they're getting their mm-hmm. new traditions exactly. and establishing their families.
Mm-hmm. So exactly. Yeah. So actually in Mexico, the big, big, big dinner, mm-hmm. the big day, the big thing that you're preparing for is the 24th at night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve is that mm-hmm. is the big one. And we actually start eating at 8 p.m.
So we're very American.
Yes. So totally different. So that we proposed that and they said no.
Because all the little kids.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways.
Yeah. Did you guys do that with little kids
though? Oh, yeah, of course. They learn how to party since they are two.
They just fall asleep?
They just, when they are tired, but they don't get tired. They're just playing with all the cousins and running. And it's just so fun. The one day that you get to just stay super late playing? How fun is that?
Then they'd sleep in on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
But you would too, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So then, so we don't have like a Christmas morning tradition in Mexico. Mm-hmm. We do just like wake up, you know, we have hot chocolate or something. But we don't do like the planning of like what is going to look, what are we going to, you know, make for Christmas morning.
Right, it's not the same.
So that is something that we have learned and incorporated. And now we have like, you know, like who in the family is the one who makes the cinnamon rolls mm-hmm. and these and that. So now we have that incorporated into our tradition, which is just, I think it's wonderful. I love breakfast. It's my favorite food. So I'm just very happy that we have that.
Yeah.
And so now we do, so the 24th, we're now doing a charcuterie board, mm-hmm. something more simple. Mm-hmm. And then the 25th is when we do, you know, like we kind of change that a little bit. And then that's just like the American way.
Yeah.
Right. And we have a breakfast.
Do you do a big meal too?
And then a big meal around like at 3, right? Okay. So that's when we are preparing everything for that. And we just do, you know, turkey most of the time. Yeah. That's what we do. They don't want to change it a lot. I'm like more like, what if we do?
Throw in some other ideas.
And we just, in our family chat, we just kind of like all the Mexicans, we just say, well, the Americans among us won't let us.
They're too established with their turkey.
They're too established.
Maybe eventually.
Eventually. I know. It's so funny, but it's just so, so great. Yeah. So we just do all the different we like to try recipes. We all love to try recipes and we love to cook and bake. Mm-hmm. So every year is like, I've been saving this, you know, beautiful cake or this beautiful dessert that I want to make. So it varies. We're not super strict about our what's it for dinner.
It doesn't have to be this exact. That's
exactly.
Fun.
It's more like really Thanksgiving fun. Is when we actually like they won't let us move like not even an inch.
You don't alter.
I know.
The green beans.
I know. No.
Did you guys celebrate down in Mexico too?
The Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. You know what? The Thanksgiving. Many Christians in Mexico have adopted the holiday mm-hmm. without, of course, the historical meaning, but just the thanksgiving to God.
For gratitude.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Exactly. So we did, and it was just the same, but we were not super attached to
the Mayflower.
You're right, exactly. And the specific menu, even though we would do it.
Yeah.
But when we moved here, when we started just like celebrating with our kids and it was just like, okay, we learned that one of our daughter-in-laws, she's very particular about her stuffing. It has to be boxed and it has to be from this particular brand. So I'm like, okay, that's your thing to make it.
That is the stuffing. It is so funny because, well, I'm American and married to an American, but but it was he loved pearl onions, like a cream onion, which we never grew up with that. Uh-huh. But that was one of those things that he just
needed.
Loves like, for Thanksgiving. Well, and his grandma was very much one of their, you know, Thanksgiving was kind of her holiday and she's still living.
I had never heard of those until this morning when I got this email from Food and Wine that I'm subscribed or something. And then it's like, you know, the Bourdain, he has the chef Bourdain. He has this recipe of creamy pearl onions. I was like, those sounds delicious.
Yes. I don't think I would have loved it at all as a kid, but that would be my fault. Not the onion's fault.
Not the onion's fault.
But it is. They're pretty, you know, and they're the little teeny onions. It's just fun. And it is fun with, you know, people who have the canned green bean casserole has to be the canned green bean casserole versus it is. It's just some of those traditions
traditions are funny, but
yes, exactly.
But it is fun to switch them up when you can.
They are. So it's just fun. So Christmas, that is in Mexico, actually, and that would be different. I've tried to find, but not. I haven't found it here in Moscow. Not necessarily. My kids do not love it necessarily, but I love it and I miss it. And it's a super traditional thing that you eat in Mexico for Christmas. Mm. It's bacalao a la Vizcaína. So bacalao is a cod fish.
Okay.
Vizcaína is an area in Spain. So, of course, we had a lot of influence of Spanish dishes, right?
Right.
It's our tradition. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Mexico, like in a couple of weeks, it's going to start everywhere. Costco, every single grocery store has, but it stinks because it has piles of the dry cod that comes from Alaska and is salted. So it's covered like with salt. And
do they even have to refrigerate it?
No.
Yeah.
Because it's just like dried there. So it's piles and it, you're like all the different prices, all the different qualities, as you can imagine.
Yes.
So much. Yeah. And then you buy it and then you have to just like rinse it and for days until all the salt is dissolved. And then you prepare it with tomatoes and olives and you know, like all this different capers. It's it's a little, it's salty and you eat it with baguette.
Okay.
And
so almost like a tapenade.
Almost like,
result
with exactly with all the fish. And I miss it. It's really, really delicious. And it has almonds as well.
Okay.
It's very delicious. So that is very, very, very typical Christmas dish. We have our menu for Mexican, the traditional Mexican things. Actually, it's doesn't go well. Like one thing, what are they? Who invented this? But everyone has that for, you know, like the bacalao, which is that.
Right.
And then you have this super Mexican thing that is called romeritos. Romeros is it's a little herb. I haven't seen it here in the States, so I don't know romeros. And you put it in mole. So it's mole with romeros. And it has, you make these dry shrimps. So they you mix them. It's so it's like a little powder of the dry shrimps, and then you make like little you mix it with battered eggs, and then you fry them and just like make these little like fritters.
Yeah,
and you put those also in the mole sauce with the romero. So is one dish? So you know, like it's just totally different. And then you have like a pork loin or with adobo sauce. You know, like. So I guess that's why my American kids were like, no, we're not doing the Mexican version of it.
Did you try it at any point? Have you actually made them eat
it? No, when they go to Mexico. If we were celebrating Christmas, you know, like in Mexico, when they, you know, when they were like engaged or something, they would go visit in Mexico. Then we would have, in Mexico, there's like, we are in Mexican territory. We have to do the Mexican way. And they love it, you know, but it's just kind of like a feeling, like a different feeling. Like when they are there, they want to do it that way.
Yeah.
But
here, when they're here, they're not necessarily wanting to pull that in. It makes me think because so my mom's heritage is very Swedish, Norwegian and stuff. Uh-huh. And so lutefisk is a fish, is, you know, this, I'm not going to remember how it's properly soaked in lye or something crazy. It's soaked anyways, but
kind of like the cod.
It made me think of your cod. But that was one of the traditional things. I feel like she made us try it one time. So it's just funny. But it didn't become
funny
tradition that stuck.
Yeah.
There are those fun ones that we pulled from our heritages. But but not the lutefisk.
Yes, exactly. So one of the things that our kids do love for Christmas season that they grew up doing, and our American kids, I would say, you know, like our sons and daughters-in-law is the hot chocolate, Mexican hot chocolate. Mm. If you can find some from Oaxaca, would be better. But the one that everyone finds in the grocery stores is the Abuelita brand, is a yellow. Mm-hmm. That would work. But what you would do is you can just make it better. You know, like you can add more, like a little bit of different things you could do. You can just add some orange zest to it and a little bit
while it's cooking or at the end.
Yeah, at the end.
Okay.
And then, but at the end, just right before you serve it.
Oh, okay.
And then cayenne pepper. Mm-hmm. That'll be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then just immerse blender to make it, you know, foamy before, dried before serving it.
So is the chocolate super rich? Is it a super thick?
It's a rich. It's okay. Not very thick.
Okay.
The Spaniard, the one from Spain, is actually very thick. It's the sipping chocolate that it's called here. Mm. Trader Joe's actually has one that is delicious, but that is not Mexican. That is more of a Spanish version. It's a sipping chocolate. It's just very, very, very thick. Mm-hmm. Delicious for biscottis, right? Like you can just get that. Or
so for the Mexican one, which one? Uh-huh. So package. Mm-hmm. What was the brand again?
Abuelita, like grandmother.
Okay. Abuelita. But the good, what was the one you were saying?
Anyone from that you find like from Oaxaca. Oaxaca is an area in, it's a city, it's a state actually, a state city in Mexico. That's where they make the most delicious chocolate bars. Okay. And that's just sourced there. It's just incredible, very... like a little bit less sweet and more rich,
which is nice.
But we were talking with our friends, some friends here, and they said that they love the Abuelita chocolate, and they tried, their kids even tried it, and they were like, this is not as sweet as the one that we have here. You know, like the Swiss, the one, you know, like the one.
The American one.
Yeah, the American one.
Very sweet.
Even though we think it's sweet, you know, but it's just like, Yeah. So
a little bit of orange, a little bit of cayenne. Do you do the whipped cream too, or is that very American? Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's very. Yeah, we don't do any cream, of that. No whipped cream.
But just froth that.
Just froth that.
Okay.
Just froth that. Like actually, they sell these frothers that's you know, you learn how to use them when you're a Mexican. It's like a wooden thing with, maybe you've seen them. You know, like with has like a little, it's almost like a bowl at the end, and it has shaker, like a chase kind of thing, and so you can
just do it.
Just
oh fun,
and then just go up and down. What a blender would do.
You know? Yes, but it's just easier to... Do you do it per cup or do you do it with the whole pot?
The whole pot. And it takes a little bit of while. Yeah. You know, like
you get workout water.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's so fun. You look at,
You
move 14 muscles and then you...
And then you enjoy your hot chocolate a little bit more.
And then you get your workout for the day there.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they would, you know, I've been listening to An Everlasting Meal on Audible. And she was talking about, what was it? Oh, it was mayonnaise.
Oh,
like, so whisking the mayonnaise versus she was saying the immersion blender, you know, it's like, well, you can, but it's not what you're going for with the blades or whatever. You want the whisk.
But
that's a lot more work.
Yes. It's the same thing of the salsa. You know, like if you make it in the fruit processor or if you make it in the molcajete, you know, you get and I think that honestly, is the satisfaction of just having made it in a, you know, like in, by either by hand. It's just like this, it just brings you more connected to the food and how you made it. And it's just so much delicious in that way.
Yes. And that extra effort does make you appreciate it.
Yes.
That much more.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's for sure.
So fun.
Well, we'll be winding down, but any final thoughts or tips on Christmas?
Okay. This is my tip for grandmas. If you want to keep it something simple, I'm starting this year. Hopefully it's going to stick. I think I like this idea. I'm collecting pictures from all the grandkids together, you know, for my kids. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do, like this year, because they're all little tinies, I'm going to do board books for them. Like same board book for each kid, for each grandkid, each family. It's not going to be even for each grandkid, but it's going to be per family with all, like my cousins is going to be like the title of the little book with all the pictures of them.
Oh, fine.
So that they can, you know, have it. So I think that is very doable. Mm-hmm. Every year I'm going to do another book, and it's just perfect because it's per family, you know, all the grandkids in that family. I think, I mean, even though you know, again, we might just, but the big gift could be that. And another thing is that we are also buying a fun, big gift for all the grandkids for when they come to their grandparents. So last year we got these, you know, like puppet theater and many puppets.
Oh.
So they all stay and they enjoy it. So when they come, they have like fun stuff.
And a special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one day, you know, we'll get the trampoline or we'll get the, you know, like things like that, but it's going to be theirs, but it stays at the grandparents because then we wouldn't have all the.
Oh, I like that. Well, and it's nice for the parents too.
Exactly.
Because it is either if you don't have a lot of space or you don't, you know, just that specialty uniqueness of going over to grandma's house with this, exactly. You know, you can get to do it there.
Yes.
Yeah, so, that's really fun.
So I think we're going to do that. Like but that. The book, I the think book I'm excited too. About this. Yeah. Well, kids our oldest love. Is four. So, yeah. you know, and we have six, so it's just perfect. And mm-hmm. they just, we have, my daughter-in-law gave me one of those, like 2 years ago, it's me and the, and his, and her, they only had one son at that time. And all the grandkids is their favorite book to look at. It's a favorite yeah. book to look at.
Oh, know? I believe it. We do chat books, if you've heard
yes,
of
it. Yes, yes.
And those get pulled out, I think, every single day.
Yes.
The kids are looking through past chat books.
They are.
Which is, you know, it's same, not the hard.
It, yeah,
but
exactly,
it's
but it's the same.
But yeah. it's that same idea. They just love to look at the memories.
They are. It's just great. So mm-hmm. I think that's a good tip.
It
just,
is a great
you
one.
You know, instead of like, and then you may, if you have it, then you can just.
Well, and if you do continue doing it each year, the kids will know and be that much more excited, exactly. you know, like what's exactly. going to be in it exactly. this year. So, yeah, that's fun.
So now I'm debating in, do I want to add pictures with the grandparents or not? You know, like,
right.
or just the grandkids. So yeah. I'm planning on that, but that's fun.
That's a fun tip. Well, Becky, thank you so much.
Thank
it's so
you,
fun
Catherine.
To chat with you about
thank
it
you.
And
thank
learn
you.
About all sorts of fun traditions.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next week.